There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Welcome back to WCN TV. We're live and it's Tuesday, August 25th, 2026. Thank you for being here. You're probably watching on WCNTV.net or Rumble or Facebook or one of those other places. I appreciate you. Anyway, today our guest is Jamie Walden. I know a lot of our viewers have been asking me to get him back on the show, so here you go. Jamie is a Bible teacher, nationally known speaker and author, and he has a background as a U.S. Marine, EMS tech, police officer, and overseas missionary. Currently, he runs the Calico Buffalo Base Camp in Southwest Colorado. Jamie, welcome back to the show. It's been a long time.
It has been a while. It's good to be on with you again, brother. I appreciate it.
There's a lot of stories in the news constantly, and it seems like it's all designed to keep us all on edge. For some reason, they need to keep us all on edge, bouncing from one crisis to another. You called it a polycrisis situation. Like I said early before we went on the air, I don't have a lot of notes today, so I'm going to just let you tell us what you know and understand about all these things, how all the global events we're seeing now are interconnected, and what the root cause of all these things is, and what you see as the solution.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And I know it is a loaded question, kind of like, hey, what's going on in the world right now? Because there's so many different things. And we just mentioned real quick off air, you know, they're seemingly divergent or compartmentalized different types of issues. But really, when we can get that greater macro perspective, we see that they're actually all overlaid and synergistic and symbiotic, which is why, you know, I've kind of been using this term frequently a lot for about the last year is this convergent zenith that can only be coined as a polycrisis, meaning multiple different crises overlapping at the same time. And actually each individual crisis, it acts as a perverse force multiplier for the secondary crises. So it's kind of like, we can take into account what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. You can't separate that with what's going on in Iran and the Middle East, which you can't separate that from what's going on with the energy shocks that are coming and the global systemic famine, and also from a global economic reset. And you also can't separate any of that from the emergence of what can only be coined as World War III, and then ushering in a reset of the collective consciousness in the way that we do things, which is why all the AI data centers are coming online and this hyper push through the Trump administration to stroke the egos and pump everything with the technocrat bros out there. So literally each one of these events seems separate in and of itself, but they're actually one ties into the next because of the nature of our global environment right now and the interconnectivity of everything within the global environment. And two, that doesn't even get into the different aspects of what's going on with the earth changes and how all these things, like as far as, you know, this Godzilla, Super El Nino, you know, whatever fear-monger word the mainstream media wants to use. I mean, people really should be in tune to that. But that the weather patterns with regards to the El Nino can't be separated from the earthquakes, can't be separated from the volcanism, can't be separated from the thinning of the magnetosphere. And it also can't be separated from the reason why all the global space agencies, including our own, are standing up planetary defense initiatives at breakneck speeds, secondary to the arrival of Apophis in 2029. So literally, it doesn't matter if you're looking at geostrategic, if you're looking at militaristic, if you're looking at political, or even economic and earth sciences, all of them are overlaid at the exact same time. And so that's why, again, we can only look at them through the lens of a more macro worldview, as in.
Ooh, we froze up.
I can hear you good.
You okay. Got me? Yep. You're moving again. That's good.
Okay.
So why don't we talk a little bit first of all about something I really haven't gotten into elsewhere, which is the situation with the earthquakes and the volcanoes and the, you know, the weather situation. We had the solar eclipse, which coincided with them activating HARP again and CERN, and all of that is kind of all happening at once too. And that's really not on anybody's, it's really not in the news cycle.
Like, yeah, it's not, and it should be, because it really is prescient to everything that's about ready to happen. So I know, I mean, hopefully some of the listeners are in tune to the reality of what's going on with that, but everything has shifted with regards to the magnetosphere, and therefore, because of the magnetosphere, everything regarding the earth sciences, kind of the functions that we understand about the earth sciences, have shifted as well too. So that's why we're getting this superheating over portions of the ocean, which is going to create megastorms never seen before. They're already warning about a dust bowl in the western half of the United States, which is going to destroy crops. They're talking about wheat and barley yields failing all over the face of the earth at the same time, along with rice yields as well too. Then you have the energy input outputs because of the energy crisis with the Strait of Hormuz and the Bab al-Mandeb Strait, you know, coming out of the Suez Canal and a couple other choke points in the world, where really the secular humanist academics are saying exactly what God has told us in the scriptures, which is they're, we'll say, prophesying, for lack of a better word, global hyperinflationary economy with regards to food and food production and food consumption, which is exactly what we see with the black horse of the book of Revelation, who rides out holding the scales in their hands, proclaiming a day's wages for a loaf of bread. And it talks specifically about the wheat and the barley and not wasting the oil or the wine. So what's interesting, Rob, is one of the key indicators that, the academics and the analysts, the different geostrategic analysts keep referencing, is specifically of all the commodities out there, they keep talking about the wheat and barley, which I personally never knew that was one of their central key indicators of global stability and with regards to food and food scarcity, especially in emerging economies, is the wheat and barley production and prices and their ability to import and export these prices. So there's been 187 earthquakes in the past 30 days alone. Most people have never heard of it. There's been, I believe, a 12 to 15 7.0 earthquakes, which those are bordering on megaquakes, which the seismological academic world is saying they've never seen that many before in that nearness of time. At the same time, they're saying that they have a theoretical construct that the core of the Earth has slowed to the point where it's actually changing the date and times. That language shouldn't be lost on anybody. And they're saying it's secondary to the magnetosphere. They're also saying that there's more solar radiation right now coming through our atmosphere than all of recorded history combined. And they're also saying that this super El Nino, it will be the worst in all of recorded history combined as well, too, dating back to the 1870s. So, and then along with that, you have, I believe in one day, it was about a week, maybe 2 weeks ago now, four volcanoes that they swore were dormant all began erupting on the same day. And what you have then as an overlay to all this is there is something, there's starting to be whispers of it in the scientific community, but there's like a critical collapse of underground freshwater aquifers secondary to all this crustal plate displacement. They're talking about water wars, mass migration, secondary to lack of fresh water. Water is either leaching into the cracks of the earth or evaporating in mass underneath the earth. And you're talking some of these aquifers are, you know, they're the size of six, seven states. The Ogallala Aquifer in the United States is one of the biggest ones in the world. There are several other ones as well, too. And they're going, there's no water. Like the water is disappearing. At the same time as you have these AI data centers coming online that are going to be consuming 300 plus percent more water than what is currently consumed by all the human beings in the United States of America. That's how much water these data centers are going to require. Those aren't my numbers. Those are the numbers of the technocrats as they're building out these AI data centers. So there is this strange convergence of these earth changes that are overlaying at the same time with these war cycles that are overlaying at the same time with this massive, like a flare going up for all the earth regarding famine, impending famine. It's everywhere. It's in all the news cycles. It's in all the mainstream media. It's in all the white papers that are being published. It's about this famine. Famine's coming. Nobody's paying attention. I mean, really probably the singular most well-researched and vetted and street-credentialed individuals out there, Michael Yon, has been warning about this impending famine and famine cycle for years and years now, saying that this is exactly what's going to happen and why, because the conditions are perfect for it. And all of this, Rob, is getting us towards what I believe is a hyper-centralization of global economies, global supply chains, global food and food production, and also global governance is going to be birthed out of the backside of the shared collective trauma of both the war, earth changes, and famine cycle that are going to break out within the next 18 months to 24 months.
So is this, are they selling this to us as climate change, or what's the deal? How are they explaining what's happening to the earth around the world?
Yeah, that's actually exactly it. In fact, they've been so well aware of what's been coming and why and the source of it that's why they sewed in that language of climate change within the last 10, 15 years intentionally. What it is, Rob, it's actually being handed down from the mystery schools and these different think tanks. So you have like scientific think tanks like the Jasons, and then you have more your psychological social engineering think tanks like the Tavistock Institute. There's also a Stanford Research Institute. They coined this neuro-linguistic phraseology of climate change and global warming specifically because they knew what was coming through high-level mystery school adept occultic practices, because they know that the judgment of God is coming on the face of the earth. So again, that's not my words. That's not speculation. It just is. So people can go dig into it and do their own research for themselves. The reason why they started putting out this, again, this neuro-linguistic phraseology is so that the inhabitants of the earth would not recognize what's happening and why it's happening. And in fact, then they could flip the script. They could make it about humanism and humanistic chaos and bring in all their carbon credits and social credits and control mechanisms, depopulation language, all their terraforming of the earth through chemtrails and all these things. They're rolling out of their GMO of everything from the plants to the animals to the insects. Even our atmospheric conditions are being genetically modified. They could bring all that online and people would champion it and cheer for it rather than shrink back from it. At the same time, the inhabitants of the earth would never stand up and look up and acknowledge that God was doing everything possible to get their attention and actually lead them into a repentant state. So the global warming slash climate change narrative was very strategically rolled out because they knew full well what was coming, how it was coming, what would happen based on both the scriptures. And again, remember, they're occultists, so they know God better than Christians do. They know the word better than Christians do. They just hate him. But they also know from the central planning aspect of our human nuances, what's coming with regards to astrocatastrophism and Apophis in 2029, this asteroid named after the ancient Egyptological god of chaos and darkness and cataclysm and disaster. It's actually the serpentine god. It's Leviathan of the Bible. So it's the etymology of the name Leviathan. Just in Egypt, they called it Apophis. And that's what they chose to name this asteroid that's coming in 2029, which is why we have event 201, and then we have COVID, and then we have the pandemic. Then we have the consolidation of supply and supply chains. Then we have the cancel culture. Then we have the letting down of borders, not just in the U.S., but all over the world, except for really Russia and China, letting down of the borders. That's why we have the sealing of the Salvard seed vault, along with a genetic arc being created through the PCR tests that have been amassed by China, and also all the genealogy, you know, 23andme.com, genealogy.com. So they have been preparing for this event for a long time. In fact, Rob, Catherine Austin Fitz just recently blew the whistle, as in 6 months ago, former housing and urban development appointee under the Bush administration doing forensic accounting, where in her official capacity, she locked onto, we can't even fathom these numbers, Rob. They don't even make sense. $21 trillion of off-books, non-approved money. 100% forensic accounting accounted for. $21 trillion over the last 20 years has been appropriated by the government off the books for deep underground super cities for government officials and COG, continuity of government operations, and their families. $21 trillion. So again, when we start connecting all these dots from the macro, we see the polycrisis emerging, and the fact that even the central planners of the world know that it's coming, and they know why it's coming, and they're making preparations for it, even including sterilization, depopulation, consolidation, GMOing things for solar radiation, transhumanism affecting the human genome through mRNA because of the radiological effects that they know are coming, secondary to all these earth science changes, and up to and including the incessant push for World War III. They must have a limited nuclear exchange for a quick, punchy global depopulation by about 2 billion before 2029. So again, none of these things can be seen in a vacuum. So Russia and Ukraine is not separate from Iran, is not separate from China, is not separate from Venezuela or Cuba, is not separate from the AI data centers or the transhumanism or COVID or the modern monetary policy, which is spinning into oblivion, or the deep underground military superstructures. Everything is hyper interconnected at this point because they know exactly what comes next and they're trying to position themselves for it. So that's how big a deal all these things are right now.
It sounds like you're describing Psalm 2.
Exactly. Psalm 2 and Revelation 6 and onward. I mean, it even says all the great men, the mighty men, the leaders of the earth hid themselves in the rocks of the earth from the great and terrible day of the Lord and the wrath of his Lamb. It says that, you know, it talks specifically about a great mountain of fire being cast down into the sea and a third of the trees and a third of the fish and a third of the ships and a third of whatever being wrecked. You know, it talks about the water being poisoned. It talks about the great earthquakes, the likes of which never has been and never will be again, right? Men's hearts fail them for fear of what they see coming from the heavens. Everything's about things coming from the heavens, the celestial bodies. And then the resultant Hegelian dialectic that the government, the wicked ruling elite governments of the earth, will use to consolidate power under what we know biblically from a biblical worldview as the beast system. So they're positioning for it. Literally everything is positioning for it, including the genetic modification of all of creation, which even gets into why it says in, and I believe in 2 Peter 2, that all the elements will be destroyed with fire in that day. Why? Because none of it's God's. By the time this thing closes, by the time the door on the ark is shut by the hand of God, there's nothing left that is of God. Everything has been modified. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man, right? All flesh was corrupted in those days. That's plants, animals, insects, bugs, whatever, all of it, because it's a cosmic war against a holy God. And they know that God's about ready to finally, at long last, which this is the eager anticipation of the redeemed of the Lord, finally, at long last, he's going to bring it to a close, and he's going to judge the inhabitants of the earth, each one according to the deeds done in the flesh. And that day, Rob, I think is on us faster and harder than what most people would ever want to acknowledge.
So the asteroid that you mentioned coming in 2029, do you believe that is... That's what scripture is talking about.
There's high index of suspicion. So, you know, we can never say for certainty, but definitely high index of suspicion that it would be the biblical wormwood that's spoken of specifically during the seals of Revelation. And if we look at the seals of Revelation, we got the seals first, which are getting ready to be popped right now, but then they go into the trumpets and then into the bowl judgments and then the seven thunders. If we read it sequentially, which is how it's written, it is one interlinked astral catastrophism based celestial event. So you see it like it's like popping, and then the secondary, the second and third order effects of, you know, this space body on the sun. It talks about people hiding themselves from the searing heat of the sun, right? That's your magnetosphere that we're talking about, and that solar radiation, the effects on the body, the effects on the earth, on the plants, on the animals, on the people hiding themselves in the rocks. And then the government's response to these things. We have super tsunamis, you know, men's the roaring of the seas, the fomenting of the seas. We have mass casualty events all over based on earth science effects. We have the changing of dates and times. Remember the Antichrist, very particular language, like he'll change the dates and times. We have Isaiah talking about the earth staggering like a hut in the wind, like a drunkard, and swaying like a hut in the wind. So even on its axial tilt, the earth starts wobbling because it gets smacked so hard, and that changes the times. So a third of the moon is dark, a third of the sun is dark, a third of the stars, everything gets shifted. Weather gets shifted, poles get shifted. The effects of magnetism and electromagnetism get shifted. Therefore, dates and times and calendars get shifted. Everything gets shifted. So when you look at it plainly, you know, I kind of always seek to read the scriptures with childlike faith, because Jesus said, unless you become like one of these children, you can have no part in the kingdom of heaven. So I try to read it with a childlike faith, not scholarly, academic, you know, dense theology, doctrinal, you know, Magoo stuff, but like just plain. If I handed it to my 14-year-old son, what would be his conclusion? And it literally reads like The Day After Tomorrow or Deep Impact or the movie Armageddon or the movie Moonfall or the most recent movie Greenland, which specifically speaks to these things, or another recent movie Don't Look Up, which is all the governments of the world know that this asteroid's coming and they create a global campaign to distract the people with all these other lesser issues so that they do not look up, so that they won't be in tune to the reality of what's actually happening. Because in all these Hollywood versions, predictive programming out of Hollywood, the whole narrative is that the government knows, but the people cannot know because of the human chaos factor that would result if they found out. So the people cannot know until the last second when there's no more denying it because they're physically seeing it in the sky. That's what all these movies are showing us, which is exactly what Ronald Reagan, I believe, broke the seal on that in 1987 in his address to the UN General Assembly when he said, "I often wonder how quickly all of our grievances and hostilities would cease." I'm paraphrasing, by the way, if the inhabitants of the earth knew that we faced a common existential extraterrestrial threat from outer space. That was the announcement to the global community. We locked onto this thing, so now nothing matters. Everything's smoke and mirrors from here on out. The global war on terrorism, print money into oblivion, have all these little minor crises, 9/11 and everything onward. It's all smoke screens for consolidating power. And actually, the European Space Agency, JAXA, the Japanese Space Agency, the Eurasian Space Agencies, and then our Western Sister Space Agencies, every single one of them has initiated planetary defense initiatives. And, Rob, a lot of people don't know this, but all these missing scientists that have kind of been a buzzword out there in the Truth Amendment world, if you do the background research on all these missing scientists, they're not working on reverse engineering alien craft like all these little, you know, all the little pontificators want to talk about. They were all working on advanced propulsion systems, nuclear weapons detonations in outer space, and asteroid deflection technologies for planetary defense. So this is speculation and conjecture on my part, but I believe all these scientists are starting to be killed off because they're wanting to warn the public, knowing exactly what's coming, and the government cannot let that get out before the appropriate time because of the chaos. They need the roads open. They need the infrastructure. They need people going to work. They need the ships running to and fro. They need the trains operating. They need the trucks operating. They need the industrial base to keep working. They need the mechanics working on heavy equipment and nuclear boring machines for their underground super cities. Like, they need human beings doing what human beings do. So they cannot release this information till the last second. And so that's why even we're starting to see these earth changes, is because it's secondary to the effects, the gravitational effects of what's going on with this Apophis. So Apophis affects the sun. The sun releases CMEs, which then affects the magnetosphere, which then affects the Earth's core, which then affects the crustal plate displacement, which you get your volcanism and your earthquakes and your tsunamis and your superheated weather patterns that are going on. So it's all connected, Rob. All connected.
Well, at the same time, the government is telling us to look up because they're going to be revealing the UFOs, the alien visitors that are, you know, going to be disclosed soon. So, you know, they're kind of prepping us for that.
It's all a distraction. I keep telling people, keep talking about the UAP NHI thing, which I'm sure you're well aware, Rob, but I was in that secret. I'm using air quotes for people that are listening. Secret. There's nothing secret about it, but what they have coined, it has become hyper viral, the secret pastoral meeting being briefed by government officials on UAPs and NHI. I was in that meeting. I flew out there for that meeting. And my conclusion after taking it all in is this UAP, UFO, NHI, Trump dump, you know, of data and this great disclosure and Spielberg's movie Disclosure Day. And then all these other well-meaning, very adept researchers and an analysis of the UAP NHI. I'm not knocking anybody, but what I'm saying is at the end of the day, after taking it all in, is I believe that this is the great distraction, not the great deception, because of what's coming with Apophis. Or maybe it's not Apophis proper, but some sort of astro catastrophism that's coming in the very near future. All of it is a distraction,
right,
giant
right.
distraction. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not real. It is real. The exotic tech is real. The craft are real. The experiences that people are having are real. The whistleblowers, whether it's the intelligence officers or the private sector whistle, they're all real. It's all real. But it's not alien. It's ours. And it's our adversaries. It's not alien. It is functionally real, hyper advanced physics and science and propulsion systems that we just don't have the capacity to understand. So I'm not saying the UAP thing isn't real, nor the NHI thing. That's just transhumanism 101. That's all real, but they're spinning it. And a lot of people are picking it up and running with it and soundbiting it as if it's going to be the great deception. It's definitely not the great deception because everybody's talking about it. That's not how you deceive people. It's the great distraction because there's a greater event which far surpasses any revelation of the government hiding very advanced technology for a very long time and free energy and anti-gravitical propulsion and all this stuff. Like that, that's a distraction because of the higher traumatic experience that they know humanity is getting ready to experience, secondary to God's judgment on the earth. And by the way, God's judgment isn't because he's a mean, evil, hard taskmaster. It's mercy. It's right. The last great act of mercy. He says, I'm not only going to shake the earth, but also the heavens, so that that which cannot be shaken will be left standing. It's the last great act of mercy of God to shake the inhabitants of the earth, that they might actually look on his Christ Jesus and be saved before he closes the book on this chapter of the age of grace and on humanity and before the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's so merciful that he's getting ready to shake the earth.
Yeah. And you mentioned the underground cities. I can tell you that they are absolutely real because I went into one.
No kidding.
Yes, in Missouri. And I did some research. We were on a trip down there and I said, I'm going to locate this place. And it's basically Underground City Central in Missouri.
Yeah, the Ozarks is the largest system of caves and underground aquifers and freshwater springs in the world. Is the Ozarks.
Well, yeah, this place was carved out, and adjacent to it were acres and acres of buses. Huh. Why they needed all the buses, I don't know. But you could drive semi trucks, you know, four or five wide through there. So my wife and I are looking at it and taking some pictures, and I decided I'm going to just drive in. So, and she's freaking out, you know, don't know.
All they can do is tell you to turn around, right? Why not?
Yeah. They, you know, they had the camo dudes there waiting for me to, you know, do whatever. And so I drove in probably about a third of a mile and then before I turned around, but it was a huge complex.
Wow. Yeah.
Underground.
Yeah, and that's what people need to understand is it's not conspiratorial. It just is. I mean, just because you're not aware of it doesn't mean that it's not true. I mean, they have Elon Musk has, you know, these nuclear boring machines that are vitrifying the rock as they move. And I can't remember. They can do something insane in a day, like miles, which is insane. Think about a nuclear powered, and you can go watch videos on these things, nuclear powered boring machines that like superheats the rock as it's cutting. So it makes it like smooth glass. So it's like secure. They don't have to come back in and concrete reinforce it. These new machines, and they're doing multiple miles in a day. And Elon Musk has like LA connected to, I can't remember what other city out there in Southern California and then into Nevada. So he can run his Tesla off of, whatever AI with no drivers, and they literally the Tesla self-transport in these underground tunnels all over the place. We also know that there's underground high-speed rail connecting DC to Colorado, in particular Denver. Under DIA, there's high-speed underground maglev trains. We also know that the North American continent is connected to the European continent, and who knows where else, by these same tunnel systems that run under the Atlantic Ocean. Believe it or not, the ocean's not that deep. I mean, all 97% or 98% of all of our telecoms and financial transactions run on undersea cable systems. People think it's all satellite and like extraterrestrial based. It's not extraterrestrial. Everything, 98% of all comms and all movement of data, including money, is still via cables that run on the floor of the ocean. Again, it just, that's the reality. And Russia has these drone submarines that are loitering submarines that sit down there on our cables on the Atlantic seafloor waiting for zero hour to cut all of our comms when the time comes for them to do their kinetic invasion of the U.S. homeland. So, again, the stuff just is, and most people have no clue about the reality of what's going on underneath their feet, are going on in the governments, are going on in the planetary defense agencies, or why is Trump erecting Golden Dome? Why is he partnering with Astroforge, which is supposedly an asteroid mining company? It's not an asteroid mining company. It's literally, I kid you not, the movie Armageddon. They're going to land on the asteroid remotely, bore into it, and try to detonate it with high yield nuclear weapons from the inside out to break apart Apophis. They've partnered with they're doing it in real time. NASA ran the DART mission, double asteroid redirection test, in 2021, where they smashed some giant piece of space junk satellite thing into a smaller asteroid to see if they could deflect it off course. So when Apophis comes, they would know if it would work, if they could deflect this asteroid. Listen, they all know what's coming, period. They all know what's coming, and they're doing everything possible to prepare for it. But again, God is sovereign. I mean, it even talks about in Obadiah 4:4 how they're going to try to set their nest among the stars. Again, Elon Musk with their off-Earth colonization. Or they're talking about putting nuclear power plants on the moon and putting bases on the moon, or putting bases. They're trying to get off the earth and they're trying to get under the earth because they know the judgment of God that's coming. So Everything else that's happening, all the geopolitical quagmire, all the geostrategic wars, all the economic junk, all the supply chain energy crisis, tit for tat maneuvers, you can't understand it unless you understand the bigger picture. It's a shell game where they're shifting and moving around different things, different assets, different supply chains, and even all the border, all the immigration, all the whatever, all the reducing of our national identity, you know, through all this wokeism and all this. It's strategic. It's to take us somewhere, which is a consolidation of global governance secondary to a globally shared traumatic experience by cataclysm. That's where it's all going.
Tower of Babel, they've been working on for, you know, since they lost the first one, they've been trying to rebuild it.
Yeah.
So, talking about the weather and the lack of water and all of that, Lake Mead is, you know, I've just seen some images of that. It's never been as low as it is, which powers Las Vegas. You know, millions of people rely on that for their energy.
Yeah.
And basically, it's practically gone for all practical purposes. So what are they going to do when that happens?
Yeah, they're about ready to take it offline. So again, this gets into, they're about, by offline, what I mean is the power generation. They're about ready to take it offline. And so you have Phoenix, and then you have Vegas, and then you have Reno, and actually a lot of the water coming from the Colorado River Basin and the Arkansas River Basin, that is Lake Powell, Lake Mead, Glen Canyon Dam, all these other things. It actually, people don't know this, but it pushes out power to Southern California. So when you take into account this, along with the increase in earthquake activity in Southern California and, you know, all the way up, you know, obviously San Andreas is a pretty famous fault line. There's a lot of other fault lines, but especially all the way up into the Cascadia subduction zone and the Juan de Fuca plate that are up there. When these things break, they don't just, the earthquakes don't, it's not that it's just like it affects some buildings on the surface and you may have a limited casualties, 100 plus casualties or whatever. It's not just about that. It's what it's doing underneath the ground. It's what it's doing to the canal systems, the water and gas and sewer systems, the freshwater piping systems, the electrical grid and transformer systems, things under the earth and the things terrestrial on top of the earth. It's all happening at the exact same time. So what a lot of the scholars are saying are kind of the, what would like trends forecasters, we'll call them. What a lot of the trends forecasters are saying is they're anticipating like the greatest migration in human history to happen within the next 2 to 5 years. I believe sooner. I believe in the 2 year time frame, less than the 5 year time frame. And it will be the largest migration in human history of people from the left coast or the west of the United States pushing east in desperation, looking for fresh water. Like they will be instantaneously forced migration because of water, more than anything else, because of water. And then obviously the secondary effects of water, you lose water, you lose power, you lose power, you lose all these other things. But at the end of the day, it is a water crisis. And again, referencing Michael Yon's work, you know, to give him credit, cause he's just so outstanding at it. He's actually coined a word called HOP, H-O-P, human osmotic pressure, is what he said, is that the human osmotic pressure from people secondary to famine and water shortages, what it does, think of, we'll say, we'll just use a low number, 30 million people all of a sudden in a matter of, you know, 18 weeks or so pushing out to the east, coming into Denver, which is already water scarce, pushing into Kansas City, coming into, you know, Nashville, Tennessee or Knoxville, Tennessee, coming into Texas in the DFW area or whatever, just looking for homes, looking for water, looking to restart their lives, but coming en masse, almost like a zombie apocalypse because they have nothing, because it all got lay wasted because of these cataclysmic events happening on the West Coast. So that human osmotic pressure, it's not like, okay, yeah, these areas can just absorb all these people. You actually cannot absorb them. The critical infrastructure, the sewer systems, the water treatment facilities, the energy grid, the school systems, even for children to come into the different school systems, the housing and housing infrastructure, it cannot absorb that amount of people. It's a shock system. So it's human osmotic pressure. So then what you get, Rob, is you start getting cascading collapses of other urban environments. And then you get an exacerbated, this is that polycrisis language, of more human osmotic pressure. So now other people in these urban environments, they start pushing out too, because they're literally being infiltrated with a zombie apocalypse of people from, you know, LA down to San Diego and Vegas and Phoenix, and then all their suburbs and all the suburbia all pushing at the same time to the east. I mean, it's going to be a humanitarian crisis the likes of which nobody's able to ever comprehend. So that's what a lot of the trends forecasters are seeing.
Well, now you're scaring me because you're talking California people probably headed for Wisconsin because we've got the Great Lakes.
Exactly. And, yeah.
You know, it's bad enough that, never mind. So.
Yeah, there's already signs in California. There's signs in Idaho. I was just up in Glacier. So up there in Flathead Valley in Glacier too, a couple of weeks ago, it's funny. There are signs out there. It's like, if you're from California, please turn around. Like people do not want Californians moving into there because there's already economically, obviously, and job wise, and just because of the cesspool of California in general. Obviously, California has a lot of amazing godly Christians in it and a lot of conservatives in California. Actually, the majority are conservatives, but because of their political environment, their economic environment, they're already creating HOP, that human osmotic pressure, on all these conservative red states and these beautiful areas, to where people are already starting to reject Californians coming into their counties or coming into their states because they bring with them their vampiristic, parasitic nature of their political ideologies. And the first place that they bring it into is into their local politics and their school systems. And there's school boards and there's school council systems. So a lot of people are already rejecting the human osmotic pressure coming from the left coast because of what they bring with them. So can you imagine a mass push, a mass influx of these people? I mean, you're talking about civil unrest and internal strife and hatred and malice because the competition for limited resources, the likes of which nobody's ever seen before. And so there's a lot of things on the horizon.
Yeah, we're already seeing that. It's already taken place in Florida. Since, you know, for the last 6 years, people have been migrating to Florida, and Florida's basically, you don't want to go there, folks. It is overwhelmed with the infrastructure. There is completely overwhelmed with way too many people.
Yeah, same with Texas. I mean, the DFW area, I think it's on course to be one of the largest, you know, metroplexes in the U.S., surpassing New York quickly, the DFW areas. And they're like, they can't take it. The infrastructure can't take it. I mean, it's not just like, oh, you move in and you get a house. Like, people don't understand how civil engineers work in critical infrastructure. It's sewer, water, gas, electricity, not what you see on top of the ground, not a house with a driveway and a cul-de-sac. That's not the critical aspect. It's everything that's under the ground to be able to accommodate even one more family. I mean, you think about what it takes to put in a new construction home when they have to tap into a water main, and then they have to, you know, bring in the gas line, then they have to bring in the transformer. I mean, it is a big deal to have even a small influx, say 10 to 20,000 people a year. These metroplexes can't accommodate them, not to mention several million in a matter of months.
I found it really disturbing to see all the people moving to Florida back in 2020, because Florida is basically an island. It's got one connecting point to the mainland U.S. Otherwise, you know, it's surrounded by water on all sides, totally packed with people. And how easy would it be for them to just block that border? And you're basically quarantined in a state you can't get anywhere from.
Yeah. I'll say this unequivocally, Rob. Florida is the worst place in the entire country for preparedness. Hands down. It is number one with 10,000 asterisks after it. Florida is the worst state in the entire country that you could ever go for any form of practical preparedness as a family. And not to mention, you know, like, the houses are sinking. Again, their aquifers are collapsing. The water table is incredibly high. There's no high ground whatsoever. And there's a very unique aspect to the earthquakes, which they've had a lot off of the coast of Cuba and elsewhere recently, is it creates a thing called liquefaction. And so, you know, it's basically, as soon as the earth starts vibrating, it turns what seems like solid state ground into quicksand, for lack of a better word, and it will literally swallow whole city blocks without even hesitating. I mean, they've already are talking about how Miami is sinking by I can't remember how much. It's like an inch, half an inch to an inch a year. The entire metro area is sinking because of the weight on it. Just the weight of building up is actually forcing down on very unstable ground because of how high the water table is and the sand content. So, yeah, Florida is toast. Florida is absolutely done for. I mean, that is the worst place in the world. As much as I would love the weather, I would love to go diving, you know, in their freshwater springs and you know, live the salt life down there. I would love to move to Florida. I never in a million years would, as much as I would enjoy the environment and the microclimate and everything down there. Just knowing those details about Florida.
Yeah, it's definitely not worth it.
It's a death trap. It's one highway in, one highway out. It is
exactly a death trap. And that highway is ridiculous.
Yeah.
We flew into Tampa several years ago to attend a funeral, and the funeral should have been 20-minute drive from the Tampa airport. It was an hour and 45 minutes. Just because of the traffic, it's a parking lot, and that was a lot. That was quite a few years ago, so I can't imagine what it's like now.
Yep, I hear that from a lot of friends that live down there full time. You know, especially in that Tampa, St. Pete area, some up in the Orlando area, and they're like, "Yeah, what used to take a 20-minute drive, they say minimum of 2 hours." Yeah. Minimum of 2 hours. They're like, it is so horrible how many people are in Florida. So anyways, right. Yeah. Taking stock of kind of where we're at, where things are going. Why are they doing the things that they're doing? Why is Trump doing the things that he's doing? Why did the previous administrations do what they're doing? What's happening on the greater, you know, global sphere of reality? Why the COVID? Why the sterilization? Why the push for feminism and even LGBT? Why it's actually part and parcel to preparation, depopulation wise, consolidation of critical infrastructure and supply chains wise, because they know what's coming. It's all strategic. It's not organic. Even this perverse, you know, LGBT, blah, 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 whatever, fill in the blank movement, and this excitation of hyperfeminism is yes, it's a cultic in origin, but there's also an empirical objective agenda as well too. And that is depopulation or reductionism of population, because they know what's coming. And again, they've ran these simulations from 2018 on. In fact, within 3 months of a simulation that was ran by a Planetary Defense Coordinator's office, within 3 months of the findings of that simulation of an asteroid impact in the Atlantic Ocean off the east coast of the US, Trump stood up Space Force. And within 6 months, they ran Event 201, which was the precursor for COVID, which the whole conclusion of the Event 201 was they need to consolidate supply chains and control narratives coming through media. So they needed to implement a cancel culture to control media narratives so they could control the spread of fear. All that came right after, within months of them running the simulation in 2018 and in 2019 by the Planetary Defense Coordinator's Office for an asteroid impact off the East Coast. And then the incessant push for World War III. All of it happened right after their findings. And by the way, the central conclusion of their findings was there's too many people to deal with. As much as the central planners like AFIMA, DHS, and then all their, you know, global counterparts want to prepare for emergencies and evacuate major cities and take care of people and have the right there, believe it or not, there is altruism to some of our government agencies. I've been a part of FEMA and DHS plan. Like they're not all evil. Okay. There's people doing their job. They want to prepare for emergencies to help and protect and save lives as much as possible. So what their findings were was that there was too many people to protect and manage. So that was their finding. Here's my conjecture. So then we need a mass depopulation as quick as possible because we can't manage 8.3 billion people, but maybe we could manage 5 billion. We can manage 5 billion, but we can't manage 8.3 billion. And so now think of everything that's happened since 2018 onward to get us to this day, because that's when they ran that simulation. It's all connected.
Okay. Ray has a question or a comment. Come on in, Ray.
Yeah, Jamie, good to hear your voice again. Great to be with you a few weeks ago in Springfield.
Absolutely.
Well, really enjoyed that. But my question is, well, you had visions about the waters and the floods and all that, and there's water floods all over and fire. Do you believe most of that is man-made, maybe both man-made disasters on purpose, and for what reason would they do that to the land? I don't know. What's your comment in regards to why this disaster is happening? Is it coming directly from God as judgment, or is man creating it himself?
Yeah, there's a couple. I mean, that's a good question. I don't think it's an either or. I think we have to look at it from a both and rather than an either or. So we know what their capabilities are with HAARP, you know, and different ELF waveforms. We know that they have in the past superheated spots of both the ionosphere and the oceanic surface temperatures to create different supercells. We know they can spin storms. They can redirect the jet stream if they want to. We know that they can create deluges in one area while having extreme droughts just, you know, 20 miles away in a whole another area. So we do know that the government has that capability, not just ours, but the governments of the earth have that capability to do the geoengineering, the weather manipulation. So yes, absolutely, there is a humanistic component to it, but also God is sovereign over all of that period. So God is the one that dictates whether they're allowed to do that or not. Just like the book of Job, like Satan had to request permission to create afflictions on Job. So did Satan do it? Yes, but he could only do it within the confines of the sovereignty of God. So same thing with these weather manipulation stuff. Are the governments of the world, in particular the government of the United States, doing 100%? But it's not outside the purview of the sovereignty of God that they allow it to. And in fact, it's one of those things where we have the literal proverbial layout that God says that they are going to fall into their own trap. So in their Nimrodian hubristic arrogance, they believe that they have full control over these systems, including earthquake generating weapons, by the way, and tsunami bombs, by the way, and all kinds of other freak show directed energy weapon stuff, by the way. They think they have control over it, but God is so wise and sovereign that all these things that they think they have control, just like AI, is going to be used and flipped to actually be the nail in the coffin on their own judgment. So it's gonna break down. It's gonna fall apart. Okay. So then your question was, Ray, the why? Why? I can only speculate as to the why. I know that with famine, you get control. It has been the number one tool. Most of the listeners know that I have a background in history. I have a degree in history. When you're looking at it historically and through the lens of historicity, the number one control over all humanity in all time has been food. We can go all the way back to Esau selling its birthright for food, right? We can go back to how Jacob in the 12 tribes ended up in the land of Egypt for 400 years of slavery was based on food. We can look at how Abraham ended up in Egypt was because of famine in the land, and he was forced to go down to Egypt for food, you know, where Pharaoh tried to take his wife and blah, blah, blah. Everything historically has been by the control of food and food mechanisms. And now we'll fast forward to the mark of the beast. What's the centrality of the mark of the beast? Is your ability to conduct commerce economically. Commerce economically means food. And we have the black horse riding out prior to the beast system coming online and the mark of the beast coming online. And it's based on a hyperinflationary economy around food. So I think I can, again, it's conjecture, speculation, but I think it's informed speculation that the why, whether it's government or God, both at the same time, allowing these things to synergistically overlap, is it's about controlling and consolidating all food supplies and food production for control. So it's a self-induced famine or a self-promulgated famine that's going to result in ultimately the beast of the system. People are going to choose that mark or that allegiance or worship these entities in this system based on their desperation for food. It will be starvation based, only starvation based. It's not going to be leisure based. It will be sustenance based. So that's where they're taking it all.
Wow. Okay, folks, we are just about out of time here. Jamie, where can people find more information from you other than basically just go to your website?
Yeah, they can subscribe to my YouTube channel just under Jamie Walden, and they can also find me at omegadynamics.org.
Omegadynamics.org.
All right. Correct.
Well, this went a whole different direction than I thought, but it was good. It was good.
It was good. Yeah, I don't think I've ever spoken that concisely. That was good. So I'm glad we were able to wrestle that out.
Kind of wish we had another hour or two to get through some other questions, because I did end up with more questions than answers here as we talked. So
yeah, till the next time.
All right. Well, hey, thank you for being here. I know it took us a while to connect and get together, but I appreciate you coming on, and we will have you back sooner rather than later.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, Rob. I appreciate it.
All righty, folks. We will see you next week. Share the program, and God bless.